Welcome to this episode of Planting Seeds. I'm Keith Jones, the preaching minister of Calera Church of Christ, and I've prepared a short message from Scripture that's intended to be the planting of a seed that, if cultivated, will in time produce fruit in the lives of the listeners. Now, let's get started. The Lord bless and keep you, may His face shine upon you, and be gracious, and give you peace. In this episode, we'll continue our study of the book of 1 Corinthians, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you have a Bible with you, follow along while I read beginning in verse 1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as a flute or a harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if a bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will be ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I don't know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If, therefore, the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders and unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in tongues, let there be only 2 or 3 at the most, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Let 2 or 3 prophets speak, and then let others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints. The women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. At the beginning of chapter 12, Paul begins to address a question that the church in Corinth had about spiritual gifts, and it seems the question had something to do with determining which gifts were best. Paul's response to this point has been, it's not which gift is best, but how you use the gifts that you have that matters. Love gives any gift or ability its usefulness. In chapter 13, Paul let us know that love was the most powerful manifestation of the Spirit within our assemblies, and in this chapter, he's explaining to us what that's going to look like when we come together. He starts by addressing those who prophesy or speak in tongues, and lets them know that words from God need to encourage people, that if we ever use God's words to discourage, to hurt, to divide, or to exalt ourselves, that's totally inappropriate. We're stewards of the grace that God has given us, so we have to use it for His purposes. And according to verse 5, every blessing we receive is for the purpose of building up the church. He says it's great that you have something to say to the church, but they need to be lifted up, built up by it. And because of that, you need to be saying things in a way that can be clearly heard. Paul is talking to two groups of people, one that has been gifted by God to be able to prophesy, another that's able to speak in foreign languages. And they seem to be competing for time and who will get to speak to the congregation. Paul says the most important thing is that the people there understand what's being said. So if you're speaking a foreign language and don't have an interpreter and no one else there knows what you're saying, you're not being helpful. You're not lifting up the congregation. So it may be better to let those prophets continue to speak so that everyone there can hear and understand what's being said. He uses the analogy of playing a musical instrument. How if you don't play that instrument the right way, hit the right notes, the people listening won't know what song you're playing. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13, Paul had said, "We are instruments of righteousness." And as instruments of righteousness, the songs that we play have to have distinct notes. People have to be able to recognize the song that we're playing. And if you remember how Paul ended chapter 13, that means that our song is one of faith, hope, and love. It's important that we play our song distinctly and easily recognizable to the rest of the world because the world is full of noise. It's easy to get distracted or drowned out if we're not being clear and we're not playing the song of Scripture. In verse 12, Paul said they were eager for manifestations of the Spirit. They were eager for the Spirit to be made known in their assembly. He said, well, to start off with then, make sure that you're striving to excel in building up the church. He also says in those assemblies when you're praying, you need to pray in a way that produces fruit, which means that you're not just saying words, but you have your mind engaged. Those assemblies should also be times of thanksgiving, and we should be giving thanks in a way that encourages people. Paul told them in verse 17, if you're giving thanks, but the people don't understand that's what's happening, they're not being built up. And he tells them in verse 20 that as a group, they need to continue to grow in the way that they think about God and their decisions. He says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Paul says that the way we act and the information we share in our assemblies should move others, he calls them outsiders, to worship God. They should be so convicted by the fact that God is obviously present with us that it makes them want to worship the same God. When he gets to verse 26, he basically says everyone in the group has something to contribute. One may have a hymn or a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, but he says all of those things have to be done in a way that build up the people who are there. Paul says that just because we have a gift or an ability that can be used to glorify God doesn't mean that it actually accomplishes that within the assembly unless those people present are being lifted up or built up. And he lets us know when he writes to the church in Ephesus that that building up is preparing people for works of service. And it's in that service that God is glorified. This is not just about presenting ourselves to people and showing them what God has allowed us to do. It's about learning how to use those things to serve others so that God gets the glory. At the end of this chapter, Paul talks about doing things in an orderly way. He's not saying that there must be an order of services that are strictly followed every Sunday. He's saying there's a way that you can show respect to one another, show love to one another, so that collectively we reach our goal of building up the body. And that means we don't do things just because we have the right to do it or the ability to do it. We consider what's best for the whole group. There are many things in this chapter that we tend to be interested in, and we kind of fixate on what is prophecy, what is speaking in tongues, or what is Paul saying to women and how they can participate in the services. And while there's information here that contributes to those discussions, we can't forget that his point here is that when you come together, there's a way to encourage one another and build one another up without demanding that you get your way or your time to be on stage. When we love one another, we're concerned about the needs and the interest of others above our own. So in verse 34, when our English translations say the women should keep silent in the churches, we need to make sure that we understand what he's saying in the context of his longer letter. If we take just that English phrase, it would certainly seem that Paul is saying women can never utter a sound when they come into the assembly. But we've got to remember that back in chapter 11, he was talking to the women about wearing head coverings when they prayed and prophesied. That means that in the assemblies, women were praying and prophesying, and Paul was telling them how to go about doing it. So is Paul contradicting himself here, or is there something we need to dig into a little deeper to make sure we understand? First of all, if you remember back to that study in chapter 11, we talked about how the Greek word for wife and the Greek word for woman are exactly the same. We have to understand from the context whether Paul is talking about all women or just women who are married. And if I only take verse 34 by itself, it's not clear. But if I look at the very next verse, it says, if there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. It's obvious that Paul is talking about wives. I understand it's translated as women, but there were women in the assembly who didn't have husbands to go home and talk to. So Paul is talking to the wives here. And Paul is asking wives not to add to the chaos of the assemblies by asking questions in the assembly. He tells them to be quiet and give others a chance to talk in the same way that he instructed those who were speaking in tongues to be silent if they didn't have an interpreter, and prophets to be silent if someone else had something to share. His point here is being able to conduct an assembly in a decent and orderly fashion. And women of this time had never been given an opportunity where they could go to school and learn things. Women in first century Roman society couldn't vote, and in public, they had a very specific role that they were expected to play, and it was mandated by law. And if you broke these laws, you were considered to be undignified and a bad mother. So when Paul reminds the wives what the law says, he's not talking about the law of Moses. There's no such law there. He's talking about the Roman laws of their day. And if they were seen in public behaving in a way that was considered undignified, it would bring shame on their husbands. Paul is telling these wives who had questions to respect their husbands by not speaking out of turn or for the family. He encourages them to have these conversations at home, and in doing so, it opens up the floor to women who may not have an opportunity to go home and talk to a husband. As Paul tells three different groups of people that there are times to sit down and be quiet, the point he's making is that our participation in the assembly should bring peace And if we're not bringing peace, we're not making a connection with God. Verse 33 says, God is not a God of confusion, but one of peace. And so Paul tells the wives and the tongue speakers and the prophets that there are times for the sake of peace and for the building up of the group that we need to sit down and be quiet. Just because we can say something doesn't mean we should say something. And Paul says in his letter that those who are spiritual will be able to see that his teachings are from the Lord. This is not about robbing people of opportunities. It's about making sure everyone in the assembly has their needs met. So when Paul calls these Christians to have assemblies that are decent and in order, he's not telling them to check their emotions at the door. He's not telling them to plan ahead and that if someone shows up the last minute with something to say, they can't say it because it disrupts the order. He's saying this is a loving response that makes sure everyone in the group can hear what needs to be heard on a given day, that people aren't distracted by the jockeying for position and the performative nature of things, but that they actually get to experience the Spirit of God in the assembly. Thank you for listening. You can find more of these messages on our website, calerachurchofchrist.org, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.